6 weeks since we've been in this book. We've had some wonderful Sunday night services in the last 6 weeks, but it's good to get back in to Revelation, and we have arrived in the ninth chapter tonight. So let's go together. Revelation, the ninth chapter. I'm going to read our text. I have entitled this message tonight, Hell's Angels, and I think you'll understand in a moment why I have done so. Revelation, the ninth chapter. We are on course now to probably finish this book in February or March of next year. It's hard to really know for sure because we have other things coming up this year in Sunday night services, some concerts, rapture, and other things going on, but looks like sometime in 2011. So if you can hang in that long, I assure you it'll be worth your while. We are going to go all the way through the end of the book, but tonight in the ninth chapter, we begin in verse number 1, Revelation 9. You out there? Say amen. Amen. All right, that was very weak. If you're out there, would you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. God bless you. All right, Revelation 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling. Excuse me. And we'll just bear with the microphone. A new sound system's coming soon. Amen. We're trying to figure out what's wrong. Maybe we will have that fixed by Wednesday. If not, we may have to wait till the new sound system comes. But just bear with us on that. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke out of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth had power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death, and they will not find it. Look at this verse. Ranks as one of the most unusual verses in all the Word of God. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to harm men, hurt men, 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Many weeks back, we studied the first four trumpet judgments of the book of Revelation. We have already seen seven seal judgments. We have yet to see seven bowl judgments, and we have gotten through seven trumpet judgments. Tonight, we look at the fifth trumpet judgment. Remember from a few weeks ago, the first four trumpet judgments affected the ecology, the grass, the trees, the oceans, and the rivers. Tonight's judgment, the fifth trumpet judgment, hell's angels, boggles the imagination. It is beyond comprehension. It is such a terrible judgment that it is hard to process emotionally. It is going to be an attack on the unbelievers on earth during the tribulation. God's people will not be harmed by this judgment. We'll see that in more detail in a moment. I believe what we have here this evening is an attack from demon spirits. I call them hell's angels. Now, if you look in verse number 1 and 2 of Revelation chapter 9, I want you to notice this army. These demons had come out of hell, and more importantly, a specific place in the underworld. To begin with, if you'll notice in chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel is going to blow his trumpet, and a star fallen from heaven. I want to identify who this is. The word fallen is very important because after the fifth angel blows his trumpet, John said the star fallen, past tense, already fallen. Do you know who I believe this is? Now, this is not the Lord Jesus. This is another star. This is Satan himself. The star had fallen. Do you know that Satan is called in the Word of God, in Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer? Do you know that was his name before he fell out of heaven? According to Isaiah chapter 14, Satan, when he was Lucifer, ascended into heaven, he tried to throw God off his throne, and God won that battle. You can read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and following. And according to the scripture, Lucifer is a name in the Old Testament which means day star. Jesus, on the other hand, is called the bright and morning star. Never confuse those two. Well, right here in this verse, the star fallen from heaven. This is the devil. He is now Satan. He was Lucifer. And notice in verse number 1 of Revelation 9, he was given a key. He doesn't have the key. He was given the key to the bottomless pit. Listen to what Revelation 1 verse 18 says. According to Revelation 1 verse 18, Jesus now has the keys of death and hell. When he rose again, Jesus got those keys, and evidently according to Revelation 9 and verse 1, Jesus gives the key to Satan, the star who fell from heaven, in order for him to open the bottomless pit. Do you know that the devil has to get permission from God to do everything he does? And right here, the devil is going to be given that key from Christ in order to open what is commonly called the abyss. Now, I want you to write down four or five words for this place. This is not hell. This is the bottomless pit. It is also called the abyss. It is also called the prison house. And in the Greek language, it is called Tartarus, T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. This is the place where some, not all, but some demons reside. Let me give you two classes of demons. We know who demons are. They are angels who fell with Lucifer. When Lucifer ascended into heaven, according to Revelation chapter 12, a third of all the angels in heaven decided to join him in his endeavor to throw God off his throne. A third of these angels were cast out of heaven with Lucifer, and they became demons. Now, there are two classes of demons in the world, free and bound. There are free demons tonight who were roaming the earth. They are in the heavenly places, in the atmosphere. And then there's a group of demons who are bound in the bottomless pit or the abyss, as it's called in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Would you make a mental note here? There are no demons in hell. Satan has never been to hell. We've got this mistaken idea that the devil somehow has his headquarters in hell. He's never been there. The devil has never been to hell. There are no demons in hell, but there are some demons who are located in this bottomless pit. We're going to see them in just a moment. So I want you to write down five words if you keep notes. Here's the first one. Heaven. Heaven is the place right now above us where every Christian is residing. All of your loved ones, all of your friends who have died in the faith are now in heaven. Number two, write down the word paradise. Paradise was the place under the earth where all of the Old Testament saints went before Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose again. Before Christ came and accomplished His mission, every Old Testament saint went into paradise. When Jesus, on that first Easter Sunday, rose again, He took all the Old Testament saints out of paradise and into heaven. They couldn't go up and be in the presence of God until Christ paid our sin debt and rose again. Third word I want you to write down, the word hell. Hell is beneath us. It is the residence right now of every unbeliever. Every person who has ever died without Christ has gone to hell beneath. Write down this phrase, the lake of fire. That is the future residence of every unbeliever. When you read Revelation chapter 20, at the great white throne judgment, every unbeliever who has ever lived is going to be drug out of hell. They're going to stand in front of God, according to Revelation 20, 11 through 15. They're going to be judged guilty for all their sins. Then they will be cast into that permanent place for the unbeliever called the lake of fire. Do you want my opinion about it? I'm going to give it to you whether he asks for it or not, okay? Won't cost you anything. I believe the lake of fire is going to be the sun, the S-U-N. You know what the sun is? It is a literal ball of liquid what? Fire. I believe that the sun is going to be the future lake of fire that will be the residence of every single unbeliever. Here's the fifth place I want you to write down, the abyss, the bottomless pit. It is down beneath us. It is also called the prison. And right there in this place is a select group of demons. Not all of them. Many demons are alive and well on this earth. But in this abyss, there are demon spirits who are incarcerated in this place called the bottomless pit. Now let me tell you who's going to spend 1,000 years in this pit. Would you join me in Revelation 20? His name is Satan. During the millennial kingdom, while we are on this earth and Christ is reigning in Jerusalem, during this 1,000 years, look in Revelation 20 verse 1, I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key. Now the devil is going to get that key during the tribulation. He's going to open the bottomless pit to let out some demons who are going to plague the earth. In this case, in Revelation 21, it is an angel in good standing with God. He's got the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. So who is in the bottomless pit right now? A select group of infernal demon spirits. We'll talk about them more in a moment. They are incarcerated right now in this bottomless pit. There are no demons in hell. There are a few demons in the bottomless pit, the abyss. Well, you say, Pastor, where are demons tonight? Well, they're in two different places. And then a select few in the abyss. There are some in the heavenly places, in the atmosphere. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 says that there are some demons, principalities in heavenly places. Paul said, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. There are also demons on the earth, some in the abyss. Now, would you join me in 2 Peter 2? This is old news to some of you, but some of you maybe have never heard this. I want to tell you who these demons are and why they're in the bottomless pit. 2 Peter chapter 2, need to turn back just a few books, in verse number 4. 2 Peter 2 in verse 4. God did not spare the angels who sinned. These are demons. 2 Peter, look in chapter 2 and verse 4. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell. Now that word hell does not refer to the place where unbelievers go. The Greek word here is Tartarus, the abyss. Why are they there? Well, they sinned. They did something. And they are delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Would you listen to me now? Some of these demons in the bottomless pit are going to be let out during the tribulation. Satan is going to let them out, and they are going to create havoc in the world. Well, who are these demons in the bottomless pit? Look over in the book of Jude, little book of Jude, verse 6. Now, this is right before Revelation. Jude 6. The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. And then He tells you what they did to deserve that judgment in the abyss. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Mike, could y'all give me a little more volume here? I'm having to work a little too hard. Just a little more volume on this mic. Likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh, rejecting authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Now go back. Let me show you verse 6. These angels did something to deserve judgment in the abyss. If you will read Genesis chapter 6, and I don't have enough time to take you there, but in Genesis chapter 6, do you know that these demons who are now in the abyss cohabitated? They literally possess the human bodies of men, and they cohabitated with women. You can read it in Genesis 6. And they produced a race of giants. God took those demons that cohabitated with these men. Again, read it in Genesis 6. They possessed the bodies of men, cohabitated with women, and they produced this race of giants. Well, let's go there. Come on, go with me. It's not enough for me to share this with you. You need to see it. Genesis chapter 6. And join me in verse number 1. Do we have choir tonight? Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay. I like to be finished on Sunday evening in time for the choir, but they have seasonal Sunday night practices, and the season hadn't got here. So we'll bump right up until 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. That's Wednesday evening, but I get confused. Look in Genesis 6. Look at verse number 1. It came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, these are demons, these are demon spirits, looked upon the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for all of themselves whom they chose. And look at verse 4. Look at what this ungodly, hellish union between these demons who cohabitated with women, having possessed the bodies of men, they produced in verse number 4, giants. And so these are the demons that are now in the underworld, in the abyss, and they have been reserved for judgment. Let me have you write down Luke 8 in verse 31. Boy, thanks for the extra volume on the mic. That helps a lot. Okay, here we go. Luke 8 and verse 31. The demons in Gadara possessing the man who was in the tombs, naked and cutting himself and screaming and wailing. Jesus gets off the boat, The demons in the Gadarene demoniac said to the Lord Jesus, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" And listen to this, Luke 8:31, you can do the cross reference. The demon said to Jesus, "Please don't cast us into the abyss." These three demons in this demoniac did not want Jesus to send them into the abyss where these other demons in chains are currently residing. They wanted to remain free demons. Now you say, "Pastor, what does all this mean?" Well, here's what it means. These demons, some of them anyway, in the abyss, Revelation 9, are going to be let out during the tribulation. So here's what I believe you have in Revelation 9. Satan comes down. Verse 1, he unlocks the abyss. Look at verse number 2. He opened the bottomless pit. Smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of this pit. And in verse number 3, here come the demons. I believe that's what they are. They are called, in verse number 3, locusts. But I don't believe they are literal locusts. I think the word locust here is symbolic. The reason I don't believe these are literal locusts is because we're going to see in a moment, these demons have the authority and the power to sting men with the sting of a scorpion. Locusts are not able to do that. I think these locusts are merely symbolic for demons. Let me tell you what's going to happen during the tribulation. Demon activity is going to reach its apex during the seven-year tribulation. So we've seen the army, their demonic spirits. Notice their actions. Now, there is another plausible view for what we have here, and they are not demons. I believe they're demons. I'm going to quote from a few scholars in a moment who believe that they are something other than demons. It may interest you to hear what they have to say. But notice, if you would, their actions in verse 4. The army of demons in verse number 4 want to do great harm to those on the earth. Verse number 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. They've got an appetite to do harm to everything on earth, but God tells them in verse number 4, you don't harm the green grass. Now, this is interesting because look back in chapter 8 and verse 7. You might have to kind of scrape the rust off your brain from a month or two ago. But in chapter 8, verse 7, there was another judgment in chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, this is the first trumpet, and fire and hail mingled with blood was thrown to the earth, and a third of all the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. Now, this looked like a contradiction because according to Revelation 9:4, they're commanded not to harm the green grass, and yet the first trumpet judgment destroyed all the grass. It isn't a contradiction. Keep in mind, these judgments are staggered along a timetable during the seven-year tribulation, and evidently the green grass between Revelation 8:7 and 9:4 has had a chance to what? Grow back. And so don't harm the green grass. Here's what these demons are going to attack in verse number 4. The unbelievers. Let me tell you who's going to be spared during the tribulation from this attack of these demon spirits. The 144,000 Jewish witnesses and every other believer on the earth. What happens when the rapture occurs? Not one Christian will be left behind. Every believer goes into heaven. There won't be one Christian on the earth. But because of the evangelistic zeal of the 144,000 Jews, there will be a multitude, Revelation 7, we've already seen it, a multitude of Christians will come into the kingdom because of their evangelistic fervor. Every Christian on the earth will be spared the judgment of these demon spirits. There are going to be two seals of great importance during the tribulation. To begin with, the seal of God. Look in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3. Revelation 7 and verse 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Every Christian during the tribulation is going to have God's seal on their forehead. It'll be an invisible seal. You won't be able to see it. But every believer will have the seal of God on their forehead. Every unbeliever, according to Revelation 13, will have the mark of the beast either on the back of the right hand or where? The forehead. I don't believe you'll be able to see that mark either. That mark is not 666. That is the number of the beast. We don't know what the mark is going to be. Probably show up under some sort of infrared light. Without it, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And so those who have the seal of God in their forehead will be protected from this attack from these demon spirits. Everyone with the mark of the beast will be attacked by them. Now look at verse number 5. They're given authority not so much to kill them. They were not given authority to kill these individuals. You know, everything the devil does, again, he's got to get permission from God. When he stood before the Lord in Job 1, God said to Satan, you can afflict him, you can touch him, you can torment him. I'm not going to give you permission, Satan, to kill him. And so in verse number 5, these demons are not going to kill, but merely torment them. You know, with this kind of agonizing sting that they're going to be able to torment men with, death would be a blessing. I tell you, death can be a blessing for people who've gone through incredible suffering and pain. Death is a wonderful friend for a lot of people. But these demons are going to attack the unbelievers on the earth for 5 months. You know what's interesting? That's the average lifespan of a locust. 5 months, they're given authority, according to verse number 5, to torment. And the end of verse 5 says their torment is like the torment of a scorpion. Now, these aren't locusts, even though they're going to have the authority to sting for the lifespan of a locust. I have been told, never experienced it, maybe you have, I have been told that the sting of a scorpion is one of the most painful things ever known to man. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, wrote that in the year 90 AD, listen to this, in the Sinai Peninsula, a regiment of Roman soldiers was attacked one evening by scorpions. Now, if you've ever done any study on the Roman army, you know that they were the most lean, mean fighting machines probably ever produced in ancient warfare. Tough men. When these scorpions stung these soldiers in the Roman army in the Sinai Peninsula, 90-91 AD, half of the regiment committed suicide. The pain was so horrific. And so right here you've got these demons tormenting unbelievers. Look at verse number 6. Boy, this is an incredible verse of Scripture. I don't even know how to explain it. I just know that in verse number 6, Satan has no compassion on these unbelievers during the tribulation. In fact, listen to John 10:10 before we read verse 6. The thief cometh not, but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. He hates all people. And so Satan is going to take great pleasure in tormenting these unbelievers. Verse 6 says, in those days men will seek death. There's another word for this. They will endeavor to commit suicide, and death will elude them. They will not be able to find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Death would be welcome relief, but no knife to the jugular vein, no razor blade to the artery, no gunshot to the head is going to succeed. Death is going to elude them. Now look at their appearance in verses 7 and following. We've seen the army of these demons and their actions, but John literally describes here what they look like, beginning in verse number 7. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. This tells me this is an invincible army of demons. He describes them like horses. They're not going to be stopped. For 5 months, they will create incredible torment. And then in verse 7, on their heads were crowns of something like gold. This probably means, because they're wearing crowns, that they're going to win their battles against humanity. They will conquer for 5 long, excruciating months. And then in verse number 7, they've got faces like the faces of men. I don't know how to describe that. No commentary can give me any kind of good explanation for what this means, other than perhaps in light of the fact that they're described like human beings, maybe these are intelligent, demonic creatures who know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they do it. Now, if you look in verse number 8, it gets even more bizarre, the description. They have hair like women's hair. Suppose you're Pastor Bill Bigham, and you're in the study this week, and you're coming up with some sort of explanation on how to describe these demons, and John tells you that these demonic spirits have hair like women. What in the world would you say if you got up here tonight and you tried to explain that? Well, let me offer a guess. I'm struggling here, so just bear with me. I mean, I really am trying to come up with some sort of plausible explanation for what this hair may mean. Paul said something about the hair of women in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, a woman's hair is her glory. Did you know that? That's why Paul told the Corinthian women they needed to have long hair. You say, Pastor, does that mean that it's wrong for a woman to have short hair in our day and age? No, not at all. The reason Paul told the women who were Christians in Corinth to have long hair is because there were 1,000 prostitutes in a temple in Corinth called the Temple of Aphrodite who plied their trade, and they had shaved heads. They had very short hair. So Paul was saying to the women, I want you to have your hair long to distinguish yourself from the prostitutes in Corinth. That's all he was saying there. I think you can also make a case for the fact that not only is the hair of a woman her glory, but the hair of a woman can also be very seductive. It really can. Women many times will use their hair as a seductive part of their body. They spend a lot of time on it. They want it to look their best. Woe unto me if Suzanne comes back from the beauty salon and I don't notice that she's been there. Men, you always ought to know if that is happening with your wife. Always make sure you know she's been and compliment her, because a woman's hair is her glory. But there are some ungodly women who will use their hair as an enticement or a seductive part of their body. And the only thing I can figure out, and if you've got a better explanation, please tell me after the service is over, but the only thing I can figure out is, because these demonic spirits have hair like women's hair, maybe they are seductive demonic spirits who during the tribulation will seduce the unbelievers of the world with false teaching from the Antichrist. Would you just listen? Don't turn there, because time is hastening away. But let me quote to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Listen to this carefully. The Holy Spirit says in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing demonic spirits and doctrines of demons. Maybe John is trying to tell us that these demon spirits are going to seduce men and women during the tribulation with all kinds of evil doctrine and evil activity, and they're going to believe the lie of the Antichrist. The description continues. Look in verse number 8. Their teeth were like lions' teeth. The only thing I can take away from this is that the unbelievers on the earth will not escape their terror, the terror of these demons. You ever seen a lion attack its prey? Prey doesn't get away. How many of you have seen these National Geographic documentaries? I hate to watch them. If I'm channel surfing and see this, I just keep on surfing. Of these lions who come out of the jungle and they chase these poor little antelopes or other helpless, defenseless creatures down and just maul them. I mean, you see this on these cable channels. I have a feeling, because they're described here with the teeth of a lion, that these demons will not be denied their prey. Nobody is going to be able to escape them. They'll chase them down, sting them with the sting of a scorpion. Here's an alternative view. Maybe you'll opt for this one. I believe they're demons. There are a few commentators who say, hey, what we have here are not demons at all. Not at all. Helicopters. Think about it. Now, if you'll look at it, verse number 7, maybe you can see a helicopter here. Helicopters who have the power to shoot out of their tails some sort of chemicals that will cause the people on whom it falls to feel like they've been stung by scorpions. The shape of the locust, verse 7, like horses prepared for battle, on their heads were crowns of gold, maybe the propellers, and their faces were like the faces of men. Maybe John saw, you know, John didn't know what a helicopter was, amen? He didn't know what anything was that we are aware of today regarding military aircraft, planes, helicopters. Maybe he saw in these helicopters the faces of what? Men who were piloting these aircraft. They had hair like women's hair. Maybe again he's talking about the propellers. Maybe their teeth being lion's teeth, the rotors on the back. I don't know. Their breastplates like the breastplates of iron in verse number 9. Maybe that's what he's seeing here is a helicopter. And boy, certainly you might give credence to the fact this could be a helicopter when you read the words, their sounds were as the sound of their wings as chariots with many horses running to battle. You ever heard a helicopter? Sure you have. Sounds like the thundering of hooves of horses. I don't know for sure, but many commentators believe in verse 10 that these aircraft that the Antichrist is going to have under his dominion have tails like scorpions, and maybe some sort of chemical poison is shot out of their tails like the sting of a scorpion. I still think they're demons, and here's why I believe that. They are let out of the bottomless pit beneath us, and there are no helicopters down there, only demonic spirits. Well, regardless of what we have here, would you read in closing the 11th verse? And we're finished. They had a king over them. Now, this isn't Satan. Satan has never been to the bottomless pit. This king is in the bottomless pit where all these demons are who were chained. And this king is called the angel of the bottomless pit. He's a demon too. And he's got a name. In the Hebrew tongue, he's called Abaddon, which is the word for destroyer. But in the Greek language, he has the name Apollyon. He's the demonic leader of these demon spirits from the abyss. So here's the warning in verse number 12. One woe is past. You know what that one woe was? It was the fifth trumpet judgment. Trumpet judgments 5, 6, and 7 are the three woes. Woe, woe, woe. Look in chapter 8 of Revelation in verse 13. I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Trumpet judgment number 5, woe number 1. Trumpet judgment number 6, woe number 2. And trumpet judgment number 7, woe number 3. Look at verse 12, Revelation 9. One woe is past. That's trumpet judgment number 5. Still, two more woes are coming after these things. Trumpet judgments 6 and 7. And we'll see trumpet judgment number 6 next time we meet. Let's bow our heads together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for what